take your Bibles. And we're going to read from the Word of God, the first book in the New Testament, chapter 17. I'm beginning with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise God. You may be seated. Problems out of control. We all have problems of one sort or another. Some are more serious than others. Our circumstances, our environments, our upbringing, conditions because of accident, or afflictions that we cannot control, have made every one of us from time to time cry out for help and wonder if there's any way in the world we could find an answer for a problem as enormous as ours. And yet it seems that with all of the enormity and the huge problems that face each one of us from day to day, at least they're huge to us because they're our problems, We're always ready to acknowledge that someone down the street or someone across town or someone over on the other side of the fence has a problem bigger than our own. I want to come to you preaching the Word of God today and tell you that there is an answer, an antidote for your problem. The insurmountable, incurable, unconquerable problems that have attacked you and have attached themselves to your lives do not have to always be there. You can be delivered from those problems out of control. Problems sometimes begin small and they get larger and larger. Sometimes problems in a home are not so bad in the beginning, but after a few words and a few hours, things are enormous. It's difficult to believe you could ever straighten the situation out. Love can't conquer. It seems the home is forever torn apart. As a matter of fact, in our American society, home after home is demolished because words turn into larger words, and larger words turn into feelings, and feelings turn into bitternesses. Bitternesses become hatreds, and it's not long before those feelings are completely out of control. I visited the municipal courts today. I happened to be downtown and walked through some of the civil courts. And when I went through, I saw the faces of the lonely people. So many of them waiting for their lawyer to come. Others standing before the bar waiting for the judge to decide concerning the custody of their children. I mentioned to a friend with me that it's a sad thing that our society, our cities, our government has to incorporate these kind of means to help people whose problems can't be cured by any other means. I would like to answer today not just the marriage problem in the American home, but the problem with the runaway girl and the dope-addicted son, the alcoholic father, and the neurotic woman in your house. I want to preach that Jesus Christ is the answer for all problems out of control. Amen. There isn't any reason why we have to go on and on except our own minds have closed us out. But Jesus Christ, when coming to the scene, makes all the difference in the world. My story from the 17th chapter of Matthew in your New Testament talks about a problem totally out of control. A sympathetic, compassionate father crying out to a prophet, a seer, someone who could maybe be a helper, saying, "Oh Lord, help me. My son is a lunatic." Not too many of us have a problem that serious. This man had a son who didn't understand anything. His mind was completely gone, ravaged by the power of evil. The devil had taken control of his thinking until he could not control his own faculties. The capacity of his members were totally gone. And here he is, stumbling, frothing at the mouth, falling down, getting up, crawling, eating dust, gnawing pebbles, chewing at the grass, while his father cries out, "Jesus, could you help me?" The disciples couldn't help. This was the man's testimony. "I brought him to your disciples, but he could not be cured by them." And I want to say that there are lots of answers, lots of people, lots of doctors, lots of well-meaning folks, neighbors, folks who talk with you by the hour on the telephone, folks who drive 100 miles to see you, and if they had the power, they would do this thing for you. They'd answer that problem. They'd find that girl. They'd go help that baby with bronchial asthma. They would do something about that coughing, choking problem, spasmodically taking the epiglottis of that little body and thrusting it back and forth until there isn't any way it can breathe. They'd take that child and help it if they could. But there are problems sometimes after times that are so out of control that nobody can help. No preacher can help. No church can help. No doctor can help. No physician can help. No psychiatrist can help. This was one such case. But when you bring your case to Jesus, you're not just bringing it to a doctor. You're not just bringing it to a lawyer. You're not just taking it to a preacher. I'm not preaching myself. Nor am I presenting a congregation. But I'm preaching the living power of a risen Christ who is able to come into your living room and into your life and change your heart, your spirit, and your mind. The disciples, followers of Jesus, could not cure him. We have many followers of Jesus, many church denominations. We have lots of religion in our society, but we don't have very much power of God in our churches. I want to say in America today, to America, that we need to go back to preaching the Word of God again. We need to go back to believing the Word of God again. Preachers need to preach what thus saith the Word of God. And people need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Hard-hearted board members need to stop running their preacher around every time he preaches against sin and ungodliness. People who pay the most dues in the congregation need to put their fat wallets away and let that man unbare his soul and say what God has been saying to him in his study hour after hour. If the pulpit would smoke and preach, then there isn't any question that we could set the pews on fire and that hearts and homes could be changed by the power of God. And all of those problems out of control could suddenly come into the hand of a deity who can take a star and string it and a minute detail on the end of nothing and light the sun every morning and put the moon out at night. I want to preach to you that Jesus Christ is the answer for every problem. I've never known him to fail in a circumstance of crisis. He's there in a crutch. He's always there when you call on him. The fact is, Jesus answered and said the disciples couldn't do it because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe God. I've been through lots of congregations and around lots of clergy and through lots of homes where people just, they had Bibles, they were Christians, but they didn't believe the Word of God. You could tell them that Jesus Christ could heal and they'd say, "Really? There are churches in our metroplex area that preach that Jesus Christ can't even perform a miracle. Or if he could, wouldn't. In this day we're living in, I come to tell you that he's still a miracle worker." Now, if you want me to tell you why, I'm going to tell you that because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed 2 millenniums and the iron tooth of time. haven't scratched the surface of His potential glorious ability to lift men out of the gutter of degradation and sin and set them on a high road of holiness and put something in their homes, in their hearts, and in their lives that can change them and make them over new again. Just because a man claims to be a disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't mean he has power. The Scripture says that there is going to be in the last day men who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Forms of godliness are fine with power, but they're nothing but dry, hollow sepulchers when they're empty and void of the presence of God. We need something more than just a liturgical bombast spoken over some fine polished desk. We need more than just preachers writing out sermons to feed flocks and make them feel better after having heard the current events of the month. We need something more than just introducing people to a theoretic Christ who lived one time, died one time, and supposedly lives in a mystical realm unseen and unknown of men. Jesus told His own disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And I'd like to preach to this congregation and all of our viewers over America that Jesus Christ didn't go away and hide Himself for 2,000 years, but sent His glorious Spirit back to live in our hearts in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And to as many as received Him, the Scripture said, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even as many as believed on His name. In the name of Jesus, there's power to bring that daughter back. In the name of Jesus, there's power to heal that cancer. In the name of Jesus, there's power to move that son that you haven't talked with for 3 years. Hallelujah! The glory and the power and the presence of God is not subjugated to the limitations of our humanity. God who made us can help us. God who formed us can give us strength. God who understands us can heal us. There isn't any question that God's power is real today. As you watch this program, remember that the congregation gathered here are not just year after year members of a denominational body, but we are the gathering together of those lonely people out of the gutters, houses of prostitution, street corner addicts, heroin salesmen, folks who were diseased, eaten up with all kinds of personal egos, folks who had lost everything they'd ever had, doctors who had failed, folks in law who had given it up, people around us who had never been anything, trying so hard to become something, never a chance that they'd ever succeed. Here we are, all gathered together, working men, house waiting women, lovely children, all of us here, not because we were just born here and reared here. Touched us. Something happened to us. The gospel preached to us was more than just a thought, more than a theory, something more than words out of a book that has creed after creed. The Bible is something more than just black ink on India paper. The Word of God is spirit and life. Jesus said so. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm preaching to you right now that you don't have to go on out of control. Stop with me now. Stop with the Word of God now. And let me tell you that if you'll breathe the name of Jesus, say, "Lord Jesus, help me." You've come to the source when you say Jesus. You may go to church and find a disciple, but when you say Jesus, you came to the source. You may find someone to sympathize with you, but when you say Jesus, you found the answer. You may find someone who is compassionate, but when you say Jesus, help me, you've unveiled all of heaven's power and authority. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Listen, don't think I'm just saying this by theory. I'm preaching things to you I've watched happen. I'm telling you that I've watched cancers fall off people's faces. Lame limbs walk again. Blind eyes opened at this very altar and platform where I'm preaching. I want to tell you that the glory and the power of God have never changed. We haven't found one shadow of its turning. We are living witnesses that Jesus Christ is still a deliverer of men and women in our world today. The disciples are always kind, but not always able. They went aside with Jesus after Jesus had cured this problem out of control and said, "Why could not we cast this spirit out of this poor, demented child?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "Because of your unbelief." And I want to say to every layman, every clergy, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, unbeliever, agnostic, the only reason you haven't and cannot see the power of God is because you do not believe that He is able to do this. If you could for one moment say, "Jesus, help me. I believe you're able to do this." He's able to touch you now. Do you remember the two blind men who followed after Him saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us"? Their poor eyes didn't smother their gurgling throats and their lusty need for help when they cried it out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." When He stopped the multitude and turned around to them, the first question He asked them was, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And their answer was very quickly given, "Yea, Lord, we believe." And through milky, sightless eyes, they envisioned Him already moving toward them. When Jesus then touched their eyes and they could see trees, birds, flowers, grass, houses, families, children. He wants to touch your problem out of control, but He requires your faith. The Scripture teaches us that if we'll come to God, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Some folks are satisfied to know Him only as a figment of imagination or a total stranger to them standing somewhere in the shadows of history. But we have found Him in the glorious power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we have been baptized according to the Bible in His precious name for remission of sin. And after that, have found a great and a glorious experience in walking and living for God that has made Him the Lord of our lives. I want you to come closer to me now today because I'm going to pray for you. And Jesus Christ is going to touch your problem out of control. There isn't any reason why you have to go on any farther. Would you believe me? Would you believe the Word of God? And let me tell you that if Jesus Christ touched a lunatic boy, frothing at the mouth, falling in the fire, trying to drown himself in the water, and made him sane and well with a word, do you think that in 1977, with society swirling around us, mad governments falling down every day, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, prophecy being fulfilled, that God has abandoned the human race to its own folly, or left us to follow along like worms in the sand on a hot day? Never. The powerful Christ that walked in Galilee is walking with us right now, and in the Spirit is able to do everything He ever did in His flesh. I want you to believe with me. We're bowing our heads in the auditorium. I'd like for you in the viewing audience to bow your heads with me. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for you. I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ will touch you now. But I want you to say, put your can of Pearl beer down and your Lucky cigarettes. I want you to say, "Jesus, I need you." Why don't you go get your children out of the other room? Bring them in. I'm going to pray for them too. Say, "Jesus, we need you. We need you in our home. We need you in our lives. We need you in our churches. We are unmoved by apathy. We are untouched by spiritual things. We need something
dynamic and powerful to happen in our lives.
Now, Lord Jesus, I believe that You're touching everyone under the sound of my voice at this time. I know that You have the power to do these things. I come to You for those, Lord Jesus, whose minds and hearts cannot perceive faith. Would You open those minds, that man who cannot believe, that agnostic woman who is threatening suicide? I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ and command it to depart so that that lady may be able to receive faith. For that woman who is bound by nicotine, that man by alcohol, those children running wild and wayward, oh Lord Jesus, touch them now. May they cry out, Jesus, help me. We leave the disciples. We leave all of the crutches. We leave all of the helps and all of the props behind. We're coming to You, Lord, the source, the answer. I come to You for every disease, for that cancerous problem, that heart disease. I'm praying, Lord, for every organic disease, for those who are crippled in limb and in arm, those who cannot see and those who cannot speak or hear. I believe that You're going to perform miracles this week in the congregation that is hearing me preach the Word of God. And now I'm asking those visitors in the auditorium, the wide world of truth, those who are hungry for God while we're standing all over the building, I'm asking you if you'll come and let me pray for you. You need to open your heart to the Lord. You should repent of your sins. According to the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter, on the foundation day of the church, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Would you come now? I want to pray a prayer for you. Jesus.